Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay special meeting at 6:30 p.m. At this time, I'd like to ask for a roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Great, thank you. At this time, I'd like to open up for public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, I'd like to ask anybody if they have any public comments. All right, nobody's in the audience, so we will close public comment. Thank you. At this time, I turn this over to our legal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Board members, the board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action item D1. There are no facts or circumstances for disclosure other than those that are in the agenda. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, well, we're turning into open session. I'd like to turn this over to our legal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Board members, the board has reconvened from closed session regarding action item D1. All five board members were present during the duration of the closed session. There is no reportable action at this time. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. At this time, I'd like to close our meeting. All right, we're going to take a 5-minute recess. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Chris.
Okay, we're going to go.
Apparently, fire's not even.
We're going to start our public comments. All right. Good evening and welcome to the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority special meeting tonight. At this time, I'd like to turn over to staff for roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Excellent. If you all rise with me, and I'll lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. At this time, public comments are open. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During the public comments period, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. So, at this time, any public comment, anybody like to come to the podium?
You're right, Dan. It's
going to say a safety issue that I noticed. You might have addressed it or going to be addressing it. Out at the your filtration plant right out here, there's a control box, electronic control boxes. You got to turn this, turn that, the valve, the switches. Well, they're completely open. And my thought is, well, what if someone just came through that gate at some particular time and went, oh, they're just, you know, whatever, started flipping buttons? Shouldn't it maybe be in a box or something with a lock on it or just so you can prevent vandalism or something?
Any public comments? At this time, I'd like to close public comment and move on to our consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any public comment?
Just two items. One on the number 2 district invoices.
We're at a public financing authority meeting right now.
Oh, excuse me.
Anybody else have any public comments for the public financing authority? At this time, I'd like to close comments regarding that consent calendar. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. I'd like to turn this over to staff regarding new business.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Public Finance Authority. This evening, you have quite a list of documents that you will be that are under consideration. Primarily, though, it's the adoption of the resolution number, Public Finance Authority Resolution 2012-02, which acknowledges and moves forward the proposed Series 2012 Enterprise Revenue Bonds. Before I go any further, I do want to mention that there is a companion document to this on the CSD agenda. And just for the record, I want to make sure that the minutes reflect the fact that the companion document is on the CSD agenda and it is taking place this evening. So with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce Bond Counsel Cameron Wiest, who's going to give the staff report and presentation and a review of what action you will be taking this evening.
Yes, thank you, and good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Nice to be here again, and of course, this is a meeting in which you are now taking what will be a near final step if you decide to do that on the issuance of your 2012 revenue bonds, as the executive director just stated. And in your capacity as members of this board, what you have before you is a resolution that sets forth numerous documents, which I'm going to take you through. And upon the adoption of this resolution, if you choose to adopt it, you will be formalizing an action that has been considered over the last several weeks and several meetings, which this would be the culmination of the legal process, not the selling of the bond process, but the legal process and the legislative process in which all these steps are leading, as I said, to a culmination of authorizing your general manager, your board executive director, I should say, and your chairperson and vice chairperson to take future steps to sell the bonds and to consummate the sale of the bonds at future dates here, but we'll talk about a little bit in a minute. But again, these form documents are necessary, each and every one of them. The adoption of this resolution is necessary, as will be when you reconvene as a CSD. If you adopt this resolution, as your executive director stated, it will be contingent upon the CSD adoption of the companion resolution and all the documents thereunder, which is on consent calendar. So it's really kind of a formality in some ways, because obviously you're the same board. So we're just going to make the one presentation here and not bore you with the second presentation. So it's going to be a little bit detailed, because I think it's important that we go through each one of these documents a little bit and reiterate what some of the underlying covenants are within the documents, and make sure that if you have any questions, that they're answered. So you have, just to refresh memories here, you have two separate enterprise transactions that are taking place here from the standpoint of the Community Services District. And one is a water, obviously, one's a wastewater list of projects that need to be financed. The water system has one major project, that being road number 7. The wastewater project has 4, 5, or 6 projects that are well outlined in staff reports and in the documents. So the installment sale agreements, which are the underlying documents that will be considered tonight, along with the conveyance agreements, speak to the enterprise funds, the enterprise system, specific to each document. So the water conveyance agreement and the water installment sale agreement, they're only pertaining to the water system, likewise for the wastewater for each of those documents. And of course, that's an important distinction to make, because under Prop 218, as you well know, and under your rate increases that have been passed to date, you've compartmentalized as pursuant to California law and the Constitution with regard to 218 to make sure that you are comfortable. Again, considering within each enterprise the cost of the project and the rates that have been put forward for the ratepayers to pay are only rates that are attributable to each separate respective enterprise fund. So there's a definite delineation. We've kept that in these documents and these agreements, and therefore that's why you're seeing the conveyance agreement for the water and wastewater and the installment for the water and wastewater. What happens is those documents then get commingled at the indenture. That's another document here that you're considering. The revenues that flow get commingled pursuant to the indenture, and bonds, revenue bonds, 2012 County Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority revenue bonds are capable of being issued pursuant to government law, government code, California government code laws, which give more autonomy and more flexibility in the way bonds can be issued in the marketplace. And that's what we've been taking you through this process and build up to the point where you would have that ability to issue very well secured revenue bonds in the marketplace, which will be purchased by people across the nation through electronic ability within their brokers to be able to purchase a $5,000 extra bond. And in total of those investments will total the bond amount that you're proposed to issue here. Okay, so that's kind of a general overview of how the documents flow, the flow of funds, culminating in revenues that flow to the PFA, the Public Financing Authority, which has these unique powers under the government code law, which then investors can purchase. Now, to go back a step then, the installment sale agreement, the conveyance agreements are merely somewhat of a legal formality to get the proposed project assets, once financed, into the hands of the authority. Because right now, all the district has all title and all authority of all your system assets. So we have to get them to the authority so that under the installment sale agreements, we can sell them back to the district so the district can then buy them based on that revenue stream of purchasing them. Those are the revenues that are assigned to a trustee. Trustee holds your project funds, and it also makes payments to the bond investors in the marketplace. When the district pays those installment sale agreement payments semi-annually, those payments every 6 months are made to the bond trustee because they've been assigned pursuant to the indenture to the bond investors. I know it's a lot of terms and flowcharts here, but I have to take you through this, and I know you understand it. At a certain level, and I need to make sure that we're getting all the way through this. What happens is, of course, once those revenues are lodged with the trustee and the project funds, they have specific instructions in the indenture as to how your executive director and or general manager and or chairman, vice chairman, president, vice president can sign a requisition stating that the project assets are being constructed, there's been a completed phase of the asset that's going to be paid for, and by checking off some boxes and signing that requisition, each time they sign, it's going to be consecutively numbered. And so requisition number one would probably be the first, would be your planning money, for example. Requisition goes out, the trustee says yes, it meets all the standards, money gets released to whoever the payee is on that requisition. And that goes all the way through until all these projects are completed. It's anticipated that the full build out will be somewhere less than 3 years for all these projects. So at that point in time, we anticipate the construction of those project funds. One will be a water project fund, one will be a wastewater fund. Once the projects are complete, the funds collapse, the money enters back pursuant to the documents to the district for whatever legal use it would normally have. There's also a reserve fund that's held with the trustee pursuant to the indenture book. In this case, we are looking at a surety bond, which means we're going to go out and purchase from a double A insurance company the ability to protect your bond issue. It's an insulating layer that comes into play here. And that surety bond substitutes a reserve fund. It's a very prudent move on your part because a reserve fund is about, for a $13, $14 million issue, is going to be a 10% reserve fund. You're going to be looking at $1.5 million. They're going to earn less than 1%, probably less than 0.5%. So by buying that surety bond for a very nominal price, and nominal, it's all relative, but we're looking at maybe $30,000 for that over the course of 30 years, that's a lot different than paying your bond yield on $1.5 million and not getting anything out of it, you know, because you're only earning a quarter of a point. So you're at 3.5-4% differential. So what's going to happen under the indenture is that the surety bond is going to take the place of the reserve fund. It's going to insulate the district for a temporary period if you ever ran into some financial difficulties. It steps in, makes the payments, and then it has a covenant, of course, to try to raise rates to repay that. It's a temporary fix, but it helps the selling of your bonds. That's a very positive thing. By the way, I would like to also, I don't know if the general manager or ex-executive director stated that you, In fact, there's been an announcement that you have a double A minus rating. I don't want to take the thunder of anybody, but I think that's just a phenomenal rating. It really is. I mean, for who enjoys that kind of rating these days? So, I mean, you really have to tip your cap to, I mean, pat yourselves in the back for all that. It's been a
We are excited about that.
Oh, been a tremendously well-managed district, and so I think everybody's very proud of that. So what happens is that all these funds, once the documents are set in place, these funds are set up, and all the only consultants that will be left after this thing is going forward is going to be that trustee. You're going to have a good relationship with that trustee. Your staff is going to get to know the trustee, and when you make the payments or you have to figure out what your balances are, you're going to be able to call that trustee and get all the information. And that fee is about $1,250, maybe $1,500 a year. So it's money well spent, but that will be the only ongoing fees that you will have in this process as far as the team that you have now. I talked about the legal agreements, the conveyance, the installment sale agreements a little bit, the indenture a little bit, and then now you get into the sales cycle of what's on your agenda. On pursuant to the resolution here, you have what's called the bond purchase contract, the preliminary official statement, and the continuing disclosure certificate. And those are part of the sales process of this. So after this meeting, if everything gets approved, you're really authorizing the general manager to release the underwriter to go out and start marketing these bonds pursuant to the preliminary official statement. Okay? So that preliminary official statement's before you. As I spoke at one of the meetings, it's very important that as you reviewed it, if you have any questions, you have another week to get the questions either back tonight or to your executive director, general manager. Make sure that everything is in that. That if you have any kind of questions whatsoever, they have to be answered. We really have to make sure we get everybody fully participating in that document, because it's going to be there forever. It's for 30 years, if that's what the term of this, and we have to decide whether it's 25 or 30 years, by the way. There are some flexible features that you're authorizing the executive director, general manager, can make to wrap this up within parameters. But 30 years is a long time, and this document is going to reflect and represent. Obviously, we have the AA- rating. That's the first step. That's huge. That goes on the front cover. Everybody notices that. But we also want to make sure that if you see anything else in here that isn't to your liking, we make sure it's done properly and professionally now. So the sales process is just after. Preliminary official statement goes out to the investor base. It's governed by pretty much SEC, all the rules and regulations of IRS and SEC, predominantly SEC, because what our job is to make sure there's no fraud. And it's an anti-fraud opinion that we have to issue. We feel good that we've had due diligence meetings. Your finance committee's been engaged. Your general manager's been very engaged. And so we feel very good about the process and that we have all the information out on the table, and that you're going to be very well protected going forward. There's not going to be anything like that. But I just want to reiterate that if anything does come to your attention, please let us know. So as the preliminary official statement gets marketed and the underwriter starts to get, take tickets and orders for these bonds, there's going to be a point in time within about a week and a half where there's going to be a culmination of, okay, we've taken all the orders, we've done our part, the underwriter's done their part on driving competition into this, because as you take orders, you want to re-tick those orders a little bit if you can. If you get oversubscribed, you want to make sure that you're still your hammer, and the underwriter's here to back this up. But if that's what they're really good at, is driving the competition to get those yields as far down as possible for this. Every quarter of a point obviously makes a lot of difference on the size of a transaction. So the culmination will be the signing of the bond purchase contract. We're authorizing the chairperson, executive director to sign the bond purchase contract once there's a comfort level that the rates and yields are at the optimal levels. So once that's signed, that's a definitive document that cannot be backed. Neither the district, the authority, or the underwriter can back out of that document. The rates at that point are locked. So that almost completes the sale process, but then we have to close the transaction. We're going to go through a series of legal documents and opinions and final closing certificates that are going to be predominantly placed on again, chairperson, vice chairperson, and executive director, as well as your general counsel, is going to have to issue an opinion for the authority and for the CSD board. Once I get all those opinions, our office holds everything in abeyance in escrow, and we work with the underwriter to get the money wired, to set up for a wire, and that's called a pre-closing. Once we get everything in order, we say we have everything, the money is wired, and the next morning, through DTC, we authorize a transaction to be released on a national digital basis, so everybody has absolute final word on what this transaction has priced at, what the terms were, and so on and so forth. And that concludes the transaction. And then it's just from that point forward, it's really the district is maintaining the rates at the 125% covenant that we talked about in one of the last meetings, and that's found in the installment sale agreement. The net revenue pledge, it's your gross revenue pledge, less your M&O, your maintenance and operation. That becomes that, and that's as long as you're maintaining that covenant, and you're maintaining, and it's a couple of things, you have to maintain insurance, casualty insurance, and predominantly what you have in place at this point anyway, but as long as you maintain those insurance levels, you maintain that 125% debt service coverage, you're going to be just fine. And there won't be a need for anything in the future on this issue. It should just run itself. That's a summation of everything that's on here, and I would be more than happy to take any questions or anything at this point, or if you have anything to add or counsel.
You stole my thunder a little bit, Cameron, but I was gonna mention that that's quite all right. It's quite all right. That we did get the rating from Standard & Poor's. I believe it was on Wednesday, Monday. We received it on Monday. We were all very pleased with that. And a lot of the effort, and I wanted to make sure that Dan Masiello, who's sitting down over there, gets recognized, because Dan spent a considerable amount of time putting together the package before we went to Standard & Poor's, along with Vice President Graves, President Steele on the phone, myself, and Dan, as well as Cameron's input with all of his documents as well. And if you have any questions of Cameron, now would be the time, but if you have any questions of Dan regarding any of the processes there, he's also here to answer any questions. I would like to mention that we did put in here as a placeholder, just so you know, we're not planning on approaching that number, but we did put in $17 million just so we covered everything. This afternoon, the Finance Committee met with Council Cameron Weiss and Dan Masiello and myself, and we drilled that down significantly. While the final numbers are still being rounded out and that sort of thing, we should be looking somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 to 15 million for everything, including proceeds back to the district to construct the facilities, plus all, and I'm going to use the term loosely, all closing costs. So that's all I have. And so if the board has any other comments.
Well, I'm done.
Because we've been today. We've pretty much gone through all of this.
Thank you, Cameron. Thank you.
Any public comment? Public comment.
I have a question for the chair.
Go ahead.
We have a resolution number 2012-17 included in our packet tonight. Are we supposed to vote on that also?
No, that's the second one.
Or was it already voted on?
No, that's the action item.
What's
there is? I mentioned in my initial comments that there is a companion document to this, and that is being. That is on the CSD agenda. It's on the consent item. I believe it is item.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you just put it in the packet as so. Okay, it's going to be
one. One's a
forget I asked.
Meeting
forget
document
I asked.
And one is a CSD.
Yep,
document.
yep. That's the companion document. I'm
yes.
Sorry. Forget
can
I asked.
We vote on this one here.
So
you will vote on the CSD document during the CSD. Meeting.
So I would like to make a motion that we adopt. PFA Resolution 20,000-12 for the proposed Series 2012 Enterprise Revenue Bond.
I'll second that.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Yep.
One moment, please.
There's actually three recommended actions, not just the one. They're identified items 1, 2, and 3 within the recommended action.
Can I amend the motion if you're going to vote? I would make an additional motion to also approve the recommended actions as provided in the agenda report, items 1, 2, and 3.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Chair report. Do you have some more to say, Rick?
No, again, this was a massive effort that took place, and it required a lot of effort of the board. And I want to thank you for taking this action this evening. I think that in the long term, it's the right action to take. Thank you.
And any member comments? Final comments on this?
Woo-hoo. That's about it.
All right. Good.
Woo-hoo.
Good job. I know this is a great milestone for us.
And, it's huge.
I'm excited about being able to move forward. So, all right. Council? Anything to report on?
Just briefly, this was quite an undertaking, and my compliments to both of you gentlemen, to the committee, as well as the general manager. That was a lot of hard work, and the product appears to be very professional. That's probably part of the reason you're going to end up getting a lot of buyers.
I agree. Thank you. All right, at this time, I'd like to close our special meeting for the PFA.
One thing before we start. I know it's really hot in here, and we apologize. The air conditioner is on full. Does anybody want any water? I can get you some water. If anybody wants any water, you can put your hand in the air.
Don't be bad, folks. Just water, not margaritas.
Again, go around and open the vents for us, will you?
Yeah, tall guy.
Cost you another point.
Another point on the fee.
There you go. What? Maybe not.
Just pull it out.
There you go. And holy crap, we're
That was the trick. That's not a vent. That's an intake. This one is right here. You might want to stand aside. You might want to move aside, Carol.
Full service.
Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District regular meeting. We've had our roll call. Should we have a roll call here, please?
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Grace?
I am still here.
Director Madison?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Petro?
Here.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to open up public comment. Does anybody have anything they'd like to discuss? Bring up? All right, I'll close public comment. At this time, I'll turn over to staff for presentations.
I don't have any presentations.
Oh, that's next. All right. At this time, I'd like to have the sheriff, please.
Thank you for your patience.
Oh, no problem.
Let's see. I'm starting to take that exactly the right number. Going around there.
Yeah. Not busting a little bit crooked, but it's a lot of the way.
You feel it now.
Yeah, that was nice. All we had to do was open up the vent.
Funny how that works.
Three cheers to the tall guy.
Margaritas after the meeting.
Welcome, AJ.
Well, thank you. I know you guys have been at it for a while, so I'll keep it short. The only, as far as the stats go, the most noteworthy thing is property crimes were up a little bit. The positive thing to it is the staff, my guys and gals, we have 4 people of interest in those cases. Trivial note, oddly, they all happen to be women. I don't know why, but anyway, we have 4 people of interest in those cases. There are some probation issues, so we're trying to play let's make a deal with some of them to close some of the cases. So although the crimes are up, we do have suspects, persons of interest in the cases, so we're hoping to make some progress and close them in the next month. And there are a couple of, you know, thefts from vehicles and grand thefts. So they're all, I'm lumping them all in together. But they're all, the four people we've identified have connections to most of them.
Oh. So, been busy, haven't you?
It has been busy, yes. So that was really, as far as Tony and I were looking at the stats today, that's what really jumps out at us. The only other thing I remind people when you're looking at them, get to page, I believe it's 3, we see terrorist threats. It doesn't mean what everybody thinks it means nowadays. It just means criminal threats. All that means is somebody threatened somebody else. It doesn't mean terrorist in the sense of homeland security type thing. So
that's right.
I would, that question always seems to come up when we email staff out or send them out. Terrorists, it doesn't mean what it appears to be. So, other than that, unless you see something that jumps out.
Now, I'd just say if you want to expand your category on illegal fireworks, hang out on Marlin at 9 o'clock on Friday nights.
Okay.
Pretty regular.
Okay.
Then again at 11.
Okay. What is the penalty for fireworks? What can these guys expect?
It depends on the amounts, the type of the amounts, how safe and sane, even though they're illegal or the lowest level. And then you're getting up into the M80s, M100s, those are considered explosives. And those are felonies and very much larger fines. So the felony stuff, anywhere from $1,000 on up, the misdemeanors can be as low as $50.
I think the problem, AJ, is you actually got to see them light it, right?
Yes.
That's a problem.
That's the problem. This has been I don't make the laws, I just enforce them, but we're expected to do the enforcement, except the legislature put the most restrictions on us. Firefighters are not expected to do the enforcement, but they have the most latitude to actually do the enforcement. So it's kind of bass backwards, if you will.
How surprising.
So you don't like the firemen?
No, it's not the firemen. It's the legislature.
Oh, okay. I just...
No,
hey, you're preaching to the choir, pal.
Yeah, they do a good job. The legislature's the one that messed that one up. They, we have to see it occur. Firefighters can actually take action just based on information. If someone tells them they're shooting up fireworks in that house, they can actually go in the backyard and say, hey, you're shooting up fireworks. They can cite the homeowner.
Right.
They don't have to see them shoot. They can cite the homeowner. But
they called the wrong department.
Yeah, but the problem is, as you all know, they don't have the resources to go do that. We're the ones, we have the resources, we're out and about, but we can't do that. We have to see it actually occur.
Yeah.
We have to see the person lighting, and we can only then cite the person who's lighting the fireworks. We can't cite the homeowner. So it's kind of backwards.
How's the app?
I don't see anything in here about the blitz that happened. Do you know that Marine Patrol blitz? Do you have any stats on that at all?
They're not in here because
They're
recorded separately.
Yep.
It's a grant thing.
Right.
But I was talking to the Marine Patrol lieutenant. He told me there were, I believe, roughly 90 citations issued for all kinds of different, everything from life vests to, you know, there were...
DUIs?
Yes, there were 4 BUIs.
Yeah, right. Yep.
4 BUI citations and 2 arrests for just people who were...
Obnoxious.
Both of them were drunk and end up having warrants. So,
right.
So don't get drunk if you have warrants out for your arrest. It just causes nothing.
It's not a good combo.
Anyway, so it was successful in that regard. A lot of citations issued. All safety related things. So
successful unless you're one of the people that got busted.
Yes.
Well, it's successful for the marina on all that gas sale, too.
Yeah.
Yes. No. It was a successful event.
How's the Discovery Shopping Center Annex working for you guys?
It's working out fine for us. Tony can actually probably, that's his office.
It's nice, it's good. Do I wish it was over at the Safeway Shopping Center? Yes. The amount of traffic.
You'd rather have Straw Hat than Aladino's?
Have you been into Straw Hat at 1 o'clock? They have Straw Hat, let me tell you.
Oh, never mind, that's Mark. I forgot.
Aladino's is closed anyway. So.
Yeah.
The Safeway Shopping Center
more central and full traffic.
It's a great little office. It's a good place for the officers to come in, restroom, running water, all that good stuff.
And we do get the public coming into it. You know, I know it's not every day, but the average couple of people a day come in for questions or to file reports. Things like that. So it is useful to have that.
Well, thank you for your service, definitely. Any comments from the public?
Just a question on the hours. I've been asked a couple of times. I know you've got to be out of the field. Is there an hours area that
the
public might want to be able to visit the annex?
You know, anytime.
Because you're a director.
During the weekday, try to be there. Like I said, but sometimes I'm not there. Depending on who calls, if I need someone or I have a meeting or a presentation or dispatch number. The beat officer, as is always in the beat somewhere, has his phone voice number, so by calling that, you can always ask my phone to start. If I'm there, by all means, help me.
No, if you were in there, what, 9 to something?
Typically, it's going to be during the week, roughly 8 to 8:40.
What's our new Chris's name? I forgot.
It's our new what?
Chris's name.
Oh, the old
John Rock.
Oh, no, it's John Rock and Dave Longano.
Right, I know
John.
I know Dave.
Chris Hamblin's in Oakland. Yeah, so you may still see him around here in the area, but he's Oakland. So John Rock and Dave Longano are
the yep.
Perfect. Was there another question?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any.
Nice
is there anybody here from the CHP?
No.
Fire district? East Contrast Fire? Any updates on the fire?
There was no meeting in July.
Okay. And my all right, at this time, I'd like to move on to item E, committee liaison reports.
None since the last meeting.
I don't see anybody here from any of those. Are you aware of anything, Steph?
Yes, I attended last Thursday afternoon the monthly code enforcement meeting at Supervisor Pico's office in Wentworth. It was the same hit list of usual suspects, which are trailers and driveways, trailers on streets, motorhomes and driveways, the typical thing, typically items like that. I mentioned some respective illegal businesses that are operating in the area that I thought it was important for the Sheriff's Department or that for code enforcement to look into, so they're doing that. And that was basically it for code enforcement.
All right. Thank you. No special districts I'm aware of?
No. No meeting.
Now it's time I'd like to move on to the consent calendar.
Okay. I know we have a question.
Any public comments regarding our consent calendar?
Just a couple for clarification. We have a company, Datamatic Limited. I know it was listed as training. What's how does that interface with what was the staff trained on?
Datamatic is the company that provides our wireless meter reading equipment, and we have had a changeover in staff. So we needed to train our staff in the Datamatic system, how the wireless meter reading operates with the wireless mesh system that we have. And so they came out and spent a couple of days with us.
So they take people out into the field, or it's all done now?
Actually, it was both. We had in-office training for part of the day, classroom-type training, and the rest of the time was actually out in the field. Breaking down equipment, tearing equipment apart, putting it back together again, how to replace it, how to fix it, how to correct it. It was actually, it was needed.
Excellent.
Very beneficial.
Yeah. And a question, you have an audit company, Prosen Company. What is that an annual audit? And what are they auditing?
Well, we have an agenda posted, and I would prefer that we would direct these questions prior to our meeting. Talk to staff before this meeting gets started because we got a long agenda here still. So.
Crochet and Company is our independent auditor. We're required annually by the state of California to have an independent financial audit performed. They are our independent auditor.
Okay, not just running wastewater audits and things like that. That's your financial.
That's our financial audit.
CPA kind of thing.
Correct.
And then one final item on item number 4 with your employment agreement. Everything was outlined fine, but there's an insurance component in there, but there wasn't any fee mentioned to that. What's approximately the cost of the insurance?
You're referring to the amendment to my contract?
Yes.
That would be workers' compensation. The incremental increase in workers' compensation. Insurance, things along those lines.
Right.
It's not medical insurance. It's not dental insurance. It's nothing like that. It's only the incremental cost of the insurances that we're required to pay through Social Security, through
Disability.
Disability insurance.
Social Security.
It's that type of
all those
insurance.
Incremental increases to go with the minor sure. increase.
In. That's fine. It showed health in there. That's what I was asking the question. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm going to turn this back over to staff, Rick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Last year at this time, it was actually a year ago, on August 3rd, the board adopted a two-year rate study resolution to adopt rates moving, water and sewer rates moving forward for the FY11-12 and again in the FY12-13 fiscal years. Last year, the board, pursuant to Prop 218, mailed to all Discovery Bay property owners pursuant to Government Code Section 53755, the notice of the hearing and also of the proposed rate structure. At that meeting on August 3rd, there were 157 confirmed letters of protest that were received of the 5,025 notices that were mailed out. The board adopted resolution number 2011-13 to cover that two-year period. So consequently, there is not a rate hearing per se with respect to consideration of the rates. That all took place last year. It was the public's opportunity at the time last year to question the rate structure. So this year, the board is moving forward. The action before you tonight would be for the board to adopt the rate structure that was approved by the board last August 3rd, that was effective July 1, 2011 through June 30, 2013 for the two-year period. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. This is a public hearing, and as such, it is noticed in the newspaper with the appropriate notifications.
We just approved, we're going forward with the bond measure. Part of that is for Well 7. Well 7 is the funds for Well 7 actually were built into the, I believe, is it 18.4% looking at that we're talking about?
The 18.4% is the blended rate. That's the water and wastewater rates combined.
Okay. So I'm looking, I believe that we can tear this down a little bit because we're now going to deal with the funds for that well in a bond measure, and we're collecting money. We're collecting money based on the increase this year, based on that well being part of that money. So I'm looking at discussions to drop that somewhat.
Well, one of my questions for Rick that I had written down, is there room to moderate this at all on the perhaps not the waste side, but the water side?
Thank you for making that clarification. There is no room on the wastewater side based upon what the documents you adopted earlier this evening. You do have some flexibility on the water side, yes.
How much would that be? What would be the percentage?
You can skim it down to approximately, right now they're proposing 31%, which is 31%. So you can reduce that by approximately 10% if you so choose to do so. I would caution you, however, part of the discussion and part of the consideration that Standard & Poor's made when they gave us our bond rating of AA- was determined based upon a rates structure that was adopted last year. Now, I had this discussion because I was actually suspecting that this might come up, and from we've had some of those previous conversations. So I asked Dan Monsiel, the underwriter, a couple days ago about this, and asked if he would, in light of the fact that Standard & Poor's did make that determination, based upon the rate structure that was adopted last year for the two-year period, If we were to reduce it by, let's say, 5 or 6%, would that have a material impact on our rating? And that question was floated to Standard & Poor's, and the response was that our coverage was sufficient, but probably not much more. They would recommend going below that. So while you could probably shave 10 to 12% off, 12% being the extreme maximum, I would probably suggest that there's somewhere in the middle would probably be the best case if you were going to make a decision to do so without negatively impacting tonight's prior decisions.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. That's really good news. I mean, I'd like to propose that we go ahead and cut
that
by
5%. What's the number? What would you feel?
It's interesting you ask that. I don't know exactly the answer, but I did run the pro forma that if you were to reduce the water, it would drop. Sorry, I don't have that information. Oh, no, here it is. It would drop it from to about 18% of an increase overall if you shaved off the whole amount. I don't know what the number would be, what the dollar amount would be per homeowner.
You're saying you're going to run 0.4%?
No, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm looking for.
If you reduced it the full 12%, you would be reducing it, the overall rate increase, down to, it looks like, about 10.7. There's a lot of numbers here, as you can see by the spreadsheets.
If I might make a suggestion, Mr. President, we know wastewater is off the table. We can't mess with wastewater, so... Although it would be interesting to know what that overall number is, I think that I would agree with Director Madison in saying that I would be all for a 5% decrease in the water increase. Does that make sense? 5% decrease in the water increase for fiscal year 2012-2013. Excuse me? Yeah.
Well, are you saying I would be comfortable? It looks like if he says we go down to like 10%, maybe going down to like. And I'm talking about overall, because we're not going to have this.
Well, I believe what he just said is we can comfortably go down 5% to 6%, and that would be my motion is to go down
5%. From 18, so it would be 13.
I don't know what the blended number would be. The water, the wastewater, I would highly recommend we don't touch that.
Yeah, I
recognize that. The water side. It is currently proposed, it is currently established at 31%. You could probably drop that down to 25%, and that would have, it would probably drop your blended rate from 18.4% to probably 13% or 13.5%. I don't know that because we haven't run the rate model yet.
Can we pass that and then you can work it out?
I've already spoken to Hornberger Engineering, who retired on us last year. We were his last job, and he's actually been doing a little bit more of this for me. And so he actually told me this morning that if we do change the rates, give him what the reduction would be, and he'll give us new performance and new rate models.
We can't do that, Ray. I was going to make that motion, but we can't. Unfortunately, we've got to do it.
Any public comment regarding our rates? Opening the public hearing right now. Any comments regarding our rates? At this time, I'd like to close our public hearing and turn it back over to any comments, any further discussion?
I just had a question, a point of order. Go ahead.
I was just going to make the motion that we do exactly what we just talked about and lower the rate by 5%. On the water side.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 We need to approve the resolution.
Okay. Anybody make a motion on the resolution?
Amending it based off of your prior motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve.
Self-support.
The motion of the, what is it?
2012.
Resolution, thank you. 2012-13. With the amendments of the previous past.
It's 2012-19.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'd like to note that we will be sending that information, and I will have that reached our jury, and we will have it posted to the website tomorrow afternoon, and we will make sure the board gets a copy of that.
Thank you. All right. Item number two, please.
Item number two is also a public hearing, and this item has to do with the public hearing to consider the Ravenswood Landscaping Zone number 9 Park Lighting and Open Space Improvement District for the fiscal year 12-13, and to continue the collection of assessments on the county tax roll and the adoption of resolution number 2012-16. This item has been before you before the last two meetings, and this establishes the Prop 218 and the Prop 4 requirements that we are required to do pursuant to the California Government Constitution. And it actually, after the engineer's report was completed, we're recommending a decrease, albeit a nominal decrease, from fiscal 11-12 to 12-13, from $555 to $555.76, a reduction of $8.68 for the year.
Go ahead.
Just a point of information. Rick, you said 2012-2016, I might choose 2012-2018. I would get the wrong there.
Resolution, did I say resolution 12? Yep, I tell you what, my eyes are going. 2012-18, I'm sorry.
At this time, I'd open up public hearing on this. Anybody have any comments? Questions? At this time, I'd like to close the public hearing. Any further comments?
I would make a motion that we accept resolution 2012-18 with regards to the Ravenswoods Landscape Zone number 9.
Any second motion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Farron. Thank you, new business.
What I'd like to do this evening, if we can, we can flip-flop items number 1 and 2.
Okay.
That's okay with the board. And if that's agreeable, I'd like to introduce Tom Daphne Barwell Associates. Barwell's is the consultant that we engage to perform or conduct our capacity fee study, update that from the prior study that was done approximately 8 years ago. Before Tom gets up and speaks, I want to mention this. When we were in the at the Standard & Poor's meeting, one of the questions had came up regarding capacity fee study, and the question was who's performing it for you, and I mentioned Barta Wells, and the response was say no more. So I can't think of a better way to introduce Tom Gaffney than that. We spent a considerable amount of time on this with Tom and his staff, our staff, our finance staff. We did also engage Mark Armstrong from Pantages, as well as David Lennon from Hoffman. So both parties were at the table working through this. This evening, I'm not looking for the board to adopt it. That will take place at a future meeting. I'm just seeking input and comment at this point in time. And Tom, can you let me through your
picture? You've got a clicker, right?
It's coming your way.
Mr. President and board members, I'm pleased to be here, and I'm going to present a brief overview
brief review of our capacity fee study. And a capacity fee is a connection charge or a development fee. And a brief, we have a little presentation overview. The first thing is I want to tell you how the project worked and a little bit about our methodology and how we calculated some of the things. And a little cartoon there says that the guy on the left, he's in for wasting a cup, but the guy on the right's in for wasting water. Mm-hmm. So this is serious business.
Glad the cops have left at this point.
I saw that. Well, in our project summary, we had two meetings with staff. Then we had two more meetings with staff and developer representatives, so a number of meetings. We submitted draft tables early on, and believe me, those things were going over backwards and forwards. We had comments from the developer representatives. We had all kinds of input from staff. We were really helped by the fact that you had two recent capital improvement programs, one for water and one for sewer. So we really based our study on this latest information. We had all kinds of rounds of revisions and corrections and comments and back and forth, and actually it was a very good working group and a pretty competent working group. Then we presented a preliminary draft report and work corrections, etc. And now we have a final draft, and that's what I'm presenting tonight. You know, capacity fee methodology, capacity fees are actually pretty easy. You figure out the costs on the top and you divide it by the number of customers that benefit on the bottom, and that's the cost per customer. And there are two elements we're going to have. We have in a capacity fee a buy-in to existing facilities. You know, say you had no more capital improvements to make and a new customer hooked in, you're not going to give it away for free. So you have, that's the buy-in element. The facilities that are in the ground that help any kind of new customer that connects. And then the next part is we've got a CIP with upwards of $30 million, I think it is, of water and wastewater facilities. And some of them are purely for expansion, and some of them for a combination of expansion and current users. So we had a whole list of projects. We went through every single project. Those are on tables 3 and 4, I think, in the report. And that's how we allocated the shares, some shares to current, 100%, some shares shared, and some 100% to future. So the first thing we had to do is figure out the system capacity, and we do it in terms of single family equivalents. And if you look, this might be a little bit hard to read, but there are about 7,100 equivalent water customers and about almost 6,000 equivalent wastewater customers. Why more water? And sewer, well, a lot of water doesn't go to the sewer. And so any water that does go to, anything that does go to wastewater has to be water, but not all the water goes to the sewer. It's kind of how it works. But in both cases, you've got capacity, future capacity, for about 1,250 more single-family equivalent customers. And that's the build-out to the year 2020. And that's, the reason that's important is that's how the facilities were designed for those buyout numbers. So that we have the cost of the facilities, and about how many units each all of those facilities can take. So then here's the buy-in. Total valuation of the water system is about almost $9 million, and that'll service all the customers through the year 2020. And so that works out to be about $1,180 per customer. Now, not all those 8,000 pay that. The existing customers have already paid their shares, but that's the amount that's allocated to each future connection for the water buy-in. That's exact same logic for wastewater. The wastewater facility is a lot more expensive, though. $29 million worth of facilities. And by the way, what we did for determining these values is we took your fixed asset list, which your accountants use, the CPA that was discussed earlier tonight, and they have the original cost. They have depreciation. We took the original cost, subtracted depreciation, and escalated the cost forward based on changes in the Engineering News Record Index. It's a real standard industry-wide escalator for capital costs. And so that's the escalated value of your wastewater system. That doesn't mean you could replace it for $29 million, because I don't think you could. It'd probably be $100 million if you could dig up roads and all the work. But that works out that the wastewater buy-in is slightly over $4,000. So then we have the new facilities. Remember, the connection charges, the capacity charge is a combination of the buy-in and the share of new facilities. And of the nearly, just over $29 million worth of new facilities, $3.3 million of them. Do I have a little pointer on here?
It doesn't work on the screen.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay. That's too bad. The cost, for example, in water, about $8.7 million of new facilities, and of those, $3.36 million are allocated to future. The rest serve current customers. And so that there's about 1,250 new future customers. That works out to be about $2,680 of new facilities for each single-family water equivalent. And the same logic for wastewater. The capital, the CIP program for capital is over $20,600,000. Of that amount, $7.1 million is allocated to future, about 1,250 customers, so that works out to be about $5,750. So these are pretty big numbers of, you know, the connection charge for each customer. So then the next chart, just the addition here. The water single family equivalent capacity charge is about $3,800. You know, add the buy-in, add the new facilities. The wastewater is about over 5,000. This is about almost $10,000. And so the total single family equivalent cost is about $13,680. That compares to your current connection charge of about $3,100. So it's a huge jump completely. But let's compare it. We didn't do this before, we did this after. We made a comparison of all your neighbors, relevant neighbors, and you're not so far off those that have made this study recently. You're in there with almost all of them. There isn't anybody below $10,000. And so from your 3,000, you're probably, we're giving it away, quite frankly, but in the range of where you are now in the 13,000, you're collecting this. Now, why is this important? You've raised your water rates, you've raised your sewer rates. You've really only got two sources of revenue. You've got the rates and charges and the capacity charge. And you got to get both right. If you overcharge the current customers, well, that's inherently unfair. But if you overcharge developers, well, it's against the law, quite frankly. You're breaking the California Constitution and a few other rules. So you got to get them both as fair as you can. Otherwise, you're cheating one side or the other. And that's the way we always look at this, get them very fair. You had a rate study for the rates, and so this is a companion study for the capacity charges. So I did that kind of fast, but got the handout there. Now, this is how we did it so far. Believe me, we've had a huge amount of input already on this, but if you want to have at me, I mean, I know it is a big jump. Another way I think about this is, you know, we're talking $13,000. What if you had to put in a septic tank and you had to put in a well? Septic tanks now with the dual fields and all, $25,000 or so. And a well, what do you think, $15,000, $18,000? So by having this joint conglomerate here, you get you take a $40,000 cost if you had to do it individually. Now, this is not cheap, but it's less expensive. So, Mr. President, I'm happy to answer any questions. And
it's an interesting graph, though. Obviously, Manteca and Stockton are old existing cities that haven't expanded a lot like some of the other. And there's low, and you can't really look at Stockton because they just went bankrupt, so apparently they're not doing too well. No offense, Council.
Well, actually, there's just a larger group of population spread across.
Is that why they're lower than the rest? And then when you look at Rio Vista, you know, even Oakley, Rio Vista, Discovery Bay, and Lathrop, Discovery Bay is probably the smallest of any. Well, Rio Vista is probably about the same size, and Lathrop. So that's pretty good that Lathrop's really high, but that we fit in there. That's a helpful graph. I appreciate that. I'm glad to see that we're not out of line anywhere in particular.
You're not out of line. Your wastewater is among the highest. That's really what drives your charge up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lathrop is high, but you're second. Your water is among the lowest.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, we don't pay for our water.
Water, we're not taking it out of the government.
Yeah, we're not paying for it.
Okay, so that's why.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all in the map when we do these studies. Why
it's all the numbers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an honorable island here. I think that's a pretty good buy-in, pretty fair buy-in. I understand.
So too.
I'd like to mention that this is still in flux. There is, we're still trying to drill down to the exact number of EDUs. We do owe the Hoffman Company a number of EDUs on the water side, as well as we owe them capacity on the wastewater side. That's all factored into this document. It's all factored into the prices. The price may change a little bit based on those numbers. I don't suspect it would change significantly. But for example, we anticipate that we owe approximately 250 or so water EDUs to the Hoffman Company and about 600 EDUs to them on the wastewater side. So when you read through the document, if you have any questions about any of the analysis, please give me a call. And if I can't answer, I'll start to talk to Tom McCauley at that address.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Should be able to figure this out, but I can't, so I'm going to ask. Table 2 on page 3, I noticed that on the water side there's a few zeros, and most of them are by facilities that we own, but the golf course is listed there, and I imagine that they provide their own water through their own irrigation through the lakes that Rec 800 brings in. Is that why that's zero there? And don't they have water that goes through their country club that we provide?
I'm sorry, which
are my readings?
Two.
Buy-in for golf course is a zero. For water.
They already built down.
That's just existing facilities.
Yeah,
it's because the physical location of facilities.
Oh.
Yeah, there's and also it's the sewage lift station, zero for water, but it's big under wastewater.
Well, sure.
See that? See, so like the golf course has a wastewater. That's why we put structures and improvements under wastewater, but there wasn't any for water there.
Okay.
That's all that is.
There's a structure in the golf course. There's a structure right now, the very south east corner of the property.
Yeah.
It's a joint structure.
Okay.
So quick, now that we have the study, how long will it be before we actually adopt this? Are we finalizing it and put it in stone?
I expect that we're continuing to work on it. It's a little bit of a moving target. We're pulling files. We do need to verify the EDUs. If we've overcommitted some of, it's really between us and Hoffman Company. If we've overcommitted some of their EDUs or used some of their committed EDUs for other purposes, we need to know that. For example, in Ravenswood development, we went ahead and we reimbursed the Hoffman Company for the number of homes that went in, but we never reimbursed them for the landscaping. So we have to account for that landscaping. We owe them back those EDUs, and that's in here. There may be similar suspects, if you will, on the wastewater side. That won't be as big, in my opinion, as the reaching those numbers, but we do owe capacity to the Hoffman Company based upon the agreements that were established and adopted by SAN 19 prior to this board's existence. So, and by those documents and those agreements, we are obligated to abide by them. So those numbers are still being massaged a little bit, if you will. I think we're very, very close. The Hoffman Company may not agree with our final tally. And if they don't, that's fine. They'll have their opportunity to discuss that with you. But I would suspect that we will probably be seeing this at the first meeting in September or yeah, probably the first meeting in September, a month from today.
Any public comment, please?
I have just one quick question.
Just the microphone, please.
One quick question, just out of curiosity. Why is there more existing and future customers for water than wastewater?
That's what we explained, remember?
Yeah.
Some water customers use water, golf course, and it doesn't go to the sewer. And so you have 100% water, you have, what, 1% of water goes to the sewer, about 70%, something like that, is a rule of thumb. So you usually have more water customers than the sewer. Equivalent customers, that's what we're talking about.
I'm just, I guess, trying to wrap my head around.
Well, think about it. It's just, a golf course would be a huge water customer.
Okay.
How big a sewer customer would a golf course be?
Zero.
Zilch. Now, the clubhouse, okay, that'd be a water and sewer customer.
So the equivalent of a Wellington EDU broke it down by a household. So.
Yeah, but we use EDUs like, you know, if some restaurant is equivalent to 10 EDUs, and that's 10 equivalent single-family homes.
For water and one for waste.
Yeah, and something else for sewer.
All right, thank you.
All right, any other comments, please?
Thank Rick and the consultants for, I'm David Lynn with Hoffman Management. A lot of work went into this, and we are going to continue. We need to continue working on this, and primarily from the point of view of the agreements that exist between ourselves and the town. We've invested $30+ million in these shared improvements. We all, you know, got a lot out of that investment, and we just want to make sure that we're all looking at the agreements the same way. And then that also, that information is goes into his charge. So that needs to be worked out with us and the town and then effectively rolled into the community. So we look forward to having those meetings and work on this. And get it done.
Thank you, David.
All right, thank you. I'll close public comment.
So at this point in time, just looking for feedback from the board. If you have any questions as you read through it, massage it, sleep on it over the next few days, give me a call, let me know if they are. And so I'm not asking for any action this evening on the side.
I would just say, yeah, keep moving forward with the Hoffman development, getting those numbers finalized, and look forward to the September meeting update or getting this moved on. All right, thank you. Next item.
And Tom's assistant, Allison, has been really the number cruncher on this, so thank her for us all.
Thanks for keeping a close look there for
us.
The next item is an agency comment request from the Contra Costa County Airports. They have a proposed general plan, an airport master plan that they're proposing. They've got a number of projects listed in the master plan. It's attached to this document, or to this agenda report this evening, and they are seeking, the airport is seeking board input on that proposed master plan.
Go ahead.
As long as we have no objection, we should do what they're doing.
Any comments on this?
We've reviewed it in the meetings for about the last three meetings, so it goes back a couple of months. They're diverting about $800,000 or $900,000 to Byron for improvements there, and that's only going to be beneficial to our community, so I think it's a good thing.
All right. Any comments regarding this? Close. Any final comments from the board?
Okay. So we will draft a letter and send it, indicating that the board had no negative comments.
I'd like to have a motion to that effect.
I'll make a motion that we direct staff to draft the letter that we have no negative comments from the public.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, so let's move on to director's comments and my report. Any comments? I'll start with you, Jim. Any comments?
No.
Nope.
Yes, sir, please.
So the board knows, I attended the Department of Conservation Planning, Chase Bank, after we had sent the letter in and we were opposed to them putting a drive-in window in the shopping center. They went ahead to the Department of Conservation trying to go through it, and I attended that meeting, and I got it postponed the first time.
he had the second meeting in July, and I showed up again. I brought everybody, including the vice president of Chase Bank and the owner of the shopping center, and they had a long line of people. And I defeated it one more time, and it was turned down. And I think we're now past the appeals date, so I don't believe they can even appeal it at this point. It is an end issue.
All right, I'll catch up. Thanks. All right, well,
you know, I'm sure you guys have heard in the news recently there was a joint federal state announcement regarding a new Delta Water Diversion Plan, and I'd just like to bring it up tonight on the board. You know, the fresh water is essential for our health and our vitality for our Discovery Bay and for the greater Delta region, and I think that we need to continue having discussions as a board on how this is going to impact our future of this place. And you know, there's a Mary Pifo, our supervisor, has been very active on that Delta Protection Commission, the Delta Conservancy, and the County Coalition. And I think that it's time for us to also make a stand. And you know, we need to put together some long-term solutions on this. These guys are very short-sighted. They're talking about siphoning off the direct runoff from the Sierras and the northern Sacramento Valley and putting it in a straw and basically piping it down to SoCal. And you know, I think it's short-sighted on these guys. I think there's issues with our you know, we may have some water quality issues out here if this goes forward. You know, I think we need to understand how our salinity is going to be increased by having the Delta not flowing as fast, and I think we need to understand that. There's definitely going to be a recreation impact. I know there's a lot of fishermen out here and a lot of recreational boaters, etc., but there's going to be some sort of impact to the local guys and the businesses that support them. And I think that we, as the town board here, have a platform that we can speak up on this. In this proposal, there's no plans for a levee repair. There's no incentive for these guys on how they're going to maintain the existing levees. They're just going to site. The quantity of the water is still X, and they're just planning on diverting, taking a piece of X and piping it down south. There's no plans in here around for a reservoir or long-term plans. So I'm just asking the board tonight if you guys got some comments or feedback, and how you think we could work together as a board to you know, get our voices heard in our letter campaigns.
Well, I think I totally agree with you. I mean, there's obviously going to be a massive destruction to the Delta and everything else for the fish and all that type of stuff. I think the best thing that we can do, I actually reached out to Mary a few days ago and we were talking about a couple of things, and this was one of them. And she says it's still just kind of evolving right now. I would suggest the best thing we can do to her, or do with her, is ask her what she needs from us, since she has a better pulse on it than probably we do. And I'm sure she's got some good recommendations.
I don't know that it would hurt for us as a district to send a letter to Jerry Brown. He's the driving factor in this.
Right.
This and the train seem to be the two biggest things he's doing. But send a letter that this district is opposed to Brookfield Canal Project. That's what I've heard. And I agree with you know, direct people as our closest
ear to the railroad. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to have us put together a letter on our letterhead to the federal level and the state.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody
that's involved.
So okay, well good. I'd like to work on penciling something together with staff, and we can have it on our next agenda to review and comment on. That's all with you guys. Go ahead, Mr. Graves.
You know, the proposed pumping is actually more volume than actually comes into the Delta.
Wow.
So it doesn't even make sense. As usual, it wouldn't. But I will tell you that our federal legislatures aren't necessarily behind this. I was back in D.C. last week and met with Jerry McNerney, and it was the day that this happened, and he basically said that, you know, Brown has declared war against California and the federal government, from his opinion. And so our congressman who represents this area is strongly opposed to this, and says that there will be some heavy action taken by the legislature if they can, but he's definitely opposed to it. So I think, you know, we could even send a copy to our federal congressman also on that.
Everybody get a press release out there and get our voices heard. All right, well, I appreciate that. Any public comment about the peripheral canal?
I would think you guys are heading in the right direction, and the more the merrier that becomes aware of it. Even joined, I would say those letters can go out to some of the other communities also.
All right. I like that. All right, yeah, we can talk to Rio Vista and that county coalition, and those towns and cities that are
You get all the yard clips.
All right, I appreciate that. That's my discussion for tonight. I appreciate it. Rick, do you have any updates?
I have three items on the agenda this evening to discuss with you. One is an item that was brought up at the last meeting, and the board asked me to return to this meeting with that, and that is the consideration of a monthly newspaper article. So if the if it's the board's pleasure to do that, I'm more than happy to work with whichever board member would like to participate in that. I would just like to make sure that that the final version, if the board so chooses to move forward with this, that it does go through staff, and that it be void of any political opinion, that sort of thing, so that it's just more just information regarding projects and things that are moving forward within the community. Even as an example, the Peripheral Canal, I mean, that could be done as a press release. I'm not sure that this would be the proper venue for something like that.
Sure.
We are moving forward with the newsletter, and in fact, I mentioned in the last meeting, we're looking at, in fact, I got just before tonight's meeting, I got some samples of some mastheads, what our newsletter might look like that I'll be reviewing. And I would like to ask if maybe a couple members that were on the communications committee would like to sit and work with me on this project, because I would like to get board feedback and board input on it. One of the other things I asked her to do is to look into the possibility of changing our town logo, if you would, not related to newspaper articles, but at least something that we might move towards, because our current logo is used by pretty much everybody else in town. But with respect to the newspaper, I would like to have the board input on that.
Okay.
Couple questions. First of all, how often is the newsletter going to go out?
It's budgeted and adopted, approved by the board at twice annually.
Okay. And it would seem to me that any sort of news articles that would come out of the district would come from the district. Not only just run through the district, but would be put out by the district. And I may be way off base here, and I don't mean to be argumentative, but do we have something to produce every month? Do we have something that is of interest without digging deep that we want to commit to a monthly article in the paper? I mean,
I got some comments here too. We haven't pulled the trigger on social media yet, and have we spent money to have newspaper time for space? Is there going to be a cost to that?
There won't be any cost.
It's free.
Yep.
Okay, and is it 200 words or less? Is it 100 words or less? What is it going to be?
I don't think it really depends on what we're... Okay. Do you want to answer? Or do you? Well, this is kind of my brainchild. So let me answer. Okay. My brainchild, so I'll answer it.
Right.
My vision of this is... We have so much, all the information that we have is all negative, right? We've never had anything positive in the newspaper. So,
it's been great.
What's that?
It's been great this year.
So we have so many neat things that are out there, the park, our wastewater we're doing. And for example, I mean, one of the things right off the bat is I guarantee you 98% of the people don't even know what a CSD is. So the first article would be, what is a CSD? What do we do? Here's my classic example. I get a call from the sheriffs. I got two calls from the sheriffs last week. One of them was, hey, Jim, there's a tree that's down over in somebody's neighborhood. Who do we call? Our public is calling the sheriff's department. There's a street light that's out. Jim, what do we do? They don't even know to call the town. So
they shouldn't call the town for street light. That's the county.
It's our street light, and it's our street light. We're in charge of that one. So we're off a foghorn,
right.
And then it is our job to call PG&E. So that's the process. So it's important to get the information out to the public. Not necessarily it has to be an exciting article at the time, but it's the repetitious that this is who we are, look at our website, these are the numbers that you need to call if you have a problem, that type of thing.
Can I make a comment? I want to clarify, it's not our job to notify PG&E of the power of a light out. It's the resident's job to do so. We do it as a courtesy if somebody contacts us. We will do that and notify the resident. We get a lot of emails that come in through our contact us link on the website, and many of them are just like what you say. They are, hey, my light's out in front of my house. Can I get a bigger trash bin? Can I do this or can I do that? And we put them in the right direction. We give them the contact people mm-hmm. they should be going for. Yeah. We don't necessarily do the work for them. On the PG&E, we do because we like to keep a list of what things have been replaced and that right. sort of thing. But the newsletter article, and I just wanted the board to know that, and I agree completely with Jim on the fact that the community is somewhat the CSE is unbeknownst to many people in the community. They don't know what we do. And one of my primary goals with the newsletter is to, the very first article is to get that out there. Who we are, what we do, why we do it, and have a list of numbers and contacts. If you have this, you know, contact so-and-so. So we can provide that, we can be the facilitator of information for them. Vice President Graves asked on a monthly basis, do we have information we can do? You can always build it, you can always write a story.
And in what publications are we talking about? There's several publications that service Discovery Bay. Are we talking about what public, if it's a newspaper article, what publications are we talking about putting this into?
I believe the proposal was Discovery Bay Press and the Delta Sun-Times.
That don't get delivered to my house.
Or mine.
Yeah.
Neither of them?
No, actually, Delta Sun-Times now does. But
you
she didn't
press,
used to.
You don't get the Jason Press?
No.
I have to go pick it up out of the box.
They said they didn't like it.
Yeah. I think that public outreach is great. I think that the communication committee outlined, that we wanted to teach the people about our services and what we do. And I agree the repetition is important. I would just, if we're going to go move ahead on something like this, I would like to see that we're going to, the same contents is pushed out social media style and on our website. I don't think we need to write five different things for these five different outlets. We just need to push that release out on a consistent basis. And I'd like to see a schedule and an outline of what the topics or what the I want to see a plan of what we're going to comment on, or project updates or water conservation. What's the schedule going to be, so we can have an outline of what we're going to be working on. I don't want to go in there and just every month trying to scramble, figure out what we're going to talk about, topic of the day.
I believe Mr. Director Madison has really volunteered to write a monthly article, if I'm correct. And, I applaud you for that, because I've been on this board a long time, and it's been one of the biggest problems is always trying to get information out to the people. So if you want to sign up for that task, I'm really very pleased with that.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think, and one of the things I like that you said is I don't think it matters who fixes the light bulb. The fact that you're putting it in the article, telling people, hey, folks, this is your, and in the event that this happens to you, you can do this or do this or do this. They're pretty simple. Oh, I got this information. Where'd you get it? I got it from the CSD. Who's the CSD? That's the people we elected to put in office. And I think that it is a great idea. If we do it, you can do that matching article and take it, put it on our website, put it in the newspaper. I know they don't deliver it to you, but you grab it at the store if you're getting a paycheck. Right. Whatever. I get probably six of them a week. If I don't want to read something, I go to the car wash. I get it at the car wash and I look at it. And I think it's a damn good idea.
I know a lot of people don't get the Delta Sun Times for whatever reason, but it's hard to believe that a lot, more than 3% of the people don't get the press. I mean, everyone gets the press.
Yeah, I mean, it's every
it comes in your mailbox.
I'd like to see you do this. I think it's a good idea.
The press is committed to do that?
What's that?
Is the press committed?
I've already talked to Ruth, and she's committed to do a monthly article.
Covering Discovery Bay.
Yeah, they haven't been out this year much.
Nope. I've sat down with her, and she's committed to do that, as well as Amanda has.
Yes, I do. Just a point of order. Typically, your product that you put out is the responsibility of staff.
Right. Well, that's what we just, I think we just said that. I will write it, he'll massage it, and give it to the people.
It would be more than that. He would decide whether the topic would be acceptable or not.
Whatever Rick wants to do.
Yeah, I would like to have the staff responsible for the newsletter or the. I'd like if we all like a monthly update as to, you know, and raising our visibility to the public. I think that's a great idea. I would just direct that staff would be the writer. If you want to chime in and you've got something you want to put in there, you know, give them some food on it. I'm sure we've got some writers in the group here, or we need to bring an intern in or something to write this, but. I think that the staff should be responsible for the writing of this.
No, I disagree. I mean, I think that what we're saying is that staff will get to look at it and make a decision whether or not it does. But Ms. Madison has, you know, volunteered to do it. Staff, I think, has lots of work.
Okay.
I don't think we need to add additional tasks.
I thought we had a communications committee recommendation that staff would take care of all this. And that's that was my understanding.
Well, when I talked to the general manager about that in the beginning, he was the one that said they're very, very busy. It's a great idea, just like these two fellows down here said, they're very, very busy. It's just another thing that they would rather not do. We talked about if somebody wanted to write it and then pass it on to him and he scours it for accuracy.
Why don't we put together, like I said, a list of topics and a schedule? And if you want to chime in on that with staff to do the final draft on it, I guess I'm okay with that.
In the event you want to bypass staff, as I'm hearing, I would recommend that the article be finally approved by the board of directors.
Exactly. It's going to be a letter from the town of Discovery Bay, or it's going to be Chris Steele or a Jim Madison or
no, for the town.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why it needs to be finalized by staff, because if something comes forward, you're going to have five opinions on why it needs to be different.
Right.
Or four opinions, because one opinion wrote it. And so I don't have any problem with that. I love, you know, Jim's ambition, and I'm sure he's a much better writer than I am, because to me it'd be an overwhelming task. But I do really think that staff should have final editing and accept or decline based on subject matter, content, and at any time as an art, you know, without too much time coming. And I'm not questioning your ability to write, Jim. I think you'll do a great job. It has to be.
We're setting precedent.
Staff understands all of the whole picture, and it's not an op-ed piece, it's a factual piece, and that's all that we need to keep in mind.
Okay, can I simplify this?
Go ahead.
Let Jim write it. Let him turn it into staff. Let staff look at it and see if this is acceptable. Or isn't acceptable unless staff decides to press it.
I think I just said that.
Yeah, you did.
I think we all said that 12 times.
All right.
Let's just go
I'd like
way
to make a motion to that effect.
Any public comment, please?
You guys are doing a great job figuring this out.
All right. We're going to write our first article about this.
It'll be a comedy piece.
Yeah. Let's get rid of the alphabet soup out here, okay? All right. Do you need to do anything on this?
Yeah,
all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Let's see where we are now.
I have two more items. The next item, actually, President Steele and I discussed this at length last week, and I attached the listing of subcommittee reports to the document or to the report, and there are seven subcommittees that the board has established. The budget ad hoc, the community center, the investment oversight ad hoc, the parks and landscaping, the public financing authority committee, the recreation ad hoc committee, and the water and sewer committee. Water and sewer meets relatively regularly compared to the other committees. We haven't met in the last couple months, but we will be meeting again in August on the water wastewater side. And President Steele would like for the committees to try and establish more of a schedule so that we can, when the committee reports come up, there would be something to report on what's taking place and what's moving forward, what's not, what's stalled, where we're at, that sort of thing, these different committees. And so with that, looking for board input on that, and see what your preference is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
About what?
Do you want to establish a schedule so that these committees meet regularly? Generally, on parks and landscaping, for example, when we need to meet with parks and landscaping, we call you out.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec, Parks and Rec, water, wastewater, that is generally a scheduled meeting, although it hasn't happened the last 2 months, but it is still on our calendar for every month.
Which one?
The water, wastewater.
Right.
Community center. It hasn't met in a while. The community center committee was established, and then the community center ad hoc has always been established, and so the two members are still on that one. The budget ad hoc committee, that was a committee with two board members and three members of the community, as you recall. That committee just finished. If the board wanted to have, if the ad hoc committee wanted to meet, budget ad hoc committee wanted to meet, let's say, on a quarterly basis to have an update with one on the budget, where we are, kind of, dig into a little bit, see where we're at. That's perfectly fine. And same thing with parks and landscaping, public financing authority, that's going to happen not very often after this process moves forward, probably about once a year. Recreation ad hoc has not met, I don't believe, to date. And investment oversight, we haven't had a need to meet yet, so.
Go ahead, Mr. Madison.
I would like to see us on, for this agenda under M for committee updates, to have line items for perhaps the top four things that we are currently discussing, be it the community center, we're doing a lot of stuff with the parks, have the parks. So the top four things, there's obviously, like the general manager said, four or five things that we don't talk about a lot, but maybe the top three or four things, the items, the committees that are relevant, have those on there every time so we can discuss them.
Yeah, I agree. I would say I would like to get an update on the Parks and Landscaping Committee on what's going on and with the, a lot of different issues there. I'd like to get the recreation thing going, but the idea is that we need to elevate these. We just casually meet or we don't meet with staff, and I'd like to have a little more structure, at least on a quarterly basis, have a meeting with each of these groups and with these committees, and so that's what I'm looking for with you guys. And I think the scope's pretty laid out here. I think there's a lot of work to be done. The idea was to spread the work out among all of us to be informed and to help guide the town on what we need to work on. So,
well, for example, the investment oversight ad hoc committee, that would probably be an annual meeting. Once the economy turns around and it starts making sense to make to right. invest our money in securities other than cash where we have it all right now, because
is this budget ad hoc committee the committee that met with the three yep. members
yes.
of the public?
Yep. Yes.
So why is that committee still in existence and the communications committee isn't? And there's three committees that were put together that way. Why does one continue on and others don't?
We form that every year, the budget ad hoc. Is that a standing committee?
Well, it became a standing committee
2 years.
It's 2 years. It's a valid question, Vice President.
What was the third committee after that?
The community center committee.
Okay, yeah. So one went away.
Well, the community center committee existed prior to.
That's existed forever.
It's always been on the books. Budget ad hoc committee. You're right. It's never been there. And to be honest with you, I don't have a good answer.
Okay.
Why that stayed on and why communications went away. And if you want to add communications, you can do that too.
I don't necessarily want to add anything. But.
Yeah, I'm not adding that. I just want to get some traction. Go ahead, Mr. Madison.
Looking at the chart, I could see for the immediate future, the community center, parks, landscaping, recreation, ad hoc, and the water and sewer being prominent. I don't really see anything else here that would be prominent.
Yeah, I would expect that. I'd like to have a monthly update on that, at least on those items and some activity around those.
Monthly,
at
no,
least.
No,
quarterly.
Quarterly.
Okay. Is it?
There is no rent, but that's just parks and landscape. That's true, but I think the way that our...
You kind of basically...
All right.
It's almost a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're
so, are these...
what are we accomplishing?
I just want to be clear with the council on this. Are these... are all these committees, are these... will these go on in perpetuity? Are these every year we reapprove these? Or how do these stay in existence?
Well, right now, these have been created with no sunset provision.
Okay.
And they're not ad hoc committees, so they will go on and on and on until you change that or stop them.
And that would take a board resolution to do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Would it also take a board resolution to rename them?
Yes. And the scope and all that?
Because they're entitled ad hoc committees on this form.
Yeah, I know.
A technical ad hoc committee is one that has a limited duration and a limited scope.
I agree.
Okay, but you can have an ad hoc committee that was initially created that seems to go on and on and on. At some certain point in time, it will have transformed itself into a standing committee. What's important to understand is the distinction between a true ad hoc and an ad hoc in name only. Is whether the Brown Act applies. Okay. So if the, quote, ad hoc committee is listed, is complying with the Brown Act, then you have no issue.
Okay, I ask a question of the attorney.
And maybe the word ad hoc is the wrong choice of words. Maybe the proper name should be subcommittee.
Certainly. Yeah, I think these are more subcommittees.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's where I...
You hit it on the head.
And if we were going to take action to rename, I would like to see the committee that meets with Farron, that Mark and Ray are on, to really talk about how the things are doing with regards to, the planting and the growth of the... Had that be called the landscaping subcommittee, and then move Park over with the Park and Rec, and call it a Park and Rec subcommittee, because all the recreation occurs in the parks, and that's a more typical thing. Just a thought.
Yeah, I would say we should make a motion.
If we're going to rename stuff, let's rename it.
If you are going to take action, you're going to have to agendize this on a future agenda.
Sure. Okay, so are we all in agreement that we should put a little more teeth into these and maybe readjust them to these subcommittees for a few of these items here, and we'll pull them out of this district... And then I say we set a minimum, consider setting a minimum calendar, or, you know, we expect at least an annual, quarterly, for future board planning, we'll learn all that.
Okay. You make put on the agenda.
All right. Yeah, let's put on the next agenda, please.
Basically to clean up the list, then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This list will be just for an extra meeting on that. Because I would like to do is I would like to talk to each of the committees over the next couple of weeks and kind of discuss with each of the committee members kind of what direction we want to move into and that sort of thing. So if we do it the next meeting, I think that's too soon to have this conversation. So if you can go ahead and just know that we'll schedule it. We have an agenda forecast that we review weekly. And if Carol's writing notes, it's going on the agenda forecast.
So we'll be in the first September meeting?
So we'll schedule for the first of September. If it drags to the second meeting in September, it'll drag, we'll let you know.
Okay, well, we can report on what we've got. So. Okay. All right, good. I like that. That's perfect. Thank you. All right, Rick, one more?
Yeah, I have one more. I'll kind of dispense with the staff report, but if you turn past the staff report, there's a 35-page document, that is the Discovery Bay, Town Discovery Bay Emergency Operations Plan. It's a draft plan. I'm bringing it before you this evening to receive your input and feedback. It has gone through almost 1 year's worth of, obviously not continuous review, but it fits and starts. It's been through a number of reviews. The County Office of Emergency Services, the Division of the Sheriff's Department, has worked very closely with me on this document. They have reviewed it twice, once in a preliminary draft, and they reviewed the final draft. In fact, Marcel and Nicato, their coordinator over there, came over here the last time and toured our facilities, and I had lunch with her, and Vice President Graves actually happened to be in here at the time, and he ended up joining us. And I think that that was a very worthwhile invitation to have her participate, because we have a much better document by having the county weigh in on it. This is not to be confused with a document that the community would use as part of for their emergency operations plan. This is the emergency operations plan that the staff would use in dealing with an emergency that would take place that might impact our facilities, albeit if, whether it's an earthquake, fire, winds, flood, whatever the case may be. It's how we deal with those types of emergencies. The public has, on the county's website, there is an emergency plan for that. We do touch a little bit on the high places in town. Over by the marina, over by Boardwalk Grill is actually one of the highest elevations in Discovery Bay. And so that is identified in here. It talks about an emergency operations center, which would be this building. If this building isn't here, we have to identify a secondary one. In order to receive, you laugh, but it's true, it's happened.
I feel safer already.
I know.
we're thinking how safe this thing is.
That if the state declares an emergency, if the governor declares an emergency, and if the president declares an emergency, that opens us up to federal funding and reimbursement for costs that we've expended. And the only way we can get those monies back is if we have an emergency operations plan in place. The other component of that is we also have to have one member of staff be trained and certified in what's called SEMS. SEMS is a standardized emergency management system. It's put up by FEMA, and it is the standardized system that you follow. And that's what this document tracks loosely with that overall system, but it tracks it for our area here. I am actually trained in certified SEMS. It's been a number of years. I would like to go through and do it again, and the county is holding a workshop. Later this fall, I will be attending that. I'd also probably have Virgil attend that with me as well. So if you have any questions with the document, please read it. Get back to me if you have any comments, concerns, recommendations. I'd like to get it wrapped up here in the near future. It's been on my burner for quite some time. But at least we're finally at a point where it's before you and the public this evening. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
What is the plan for training the employees on this, and how is this going to be deployed, and what's the cycle? What is the how often are they retrained on this emergency operations plan?
There would be. I've actually talked about this with the Sheriff's Department, and they do what are called tabletop exercises. And we would participate in their tabletop exercises so that myself would be aware and another person, if something happens and I'm on vacation or something, I'm not here, or I'm injured or killed or whatever, the next person needs to step in and do it. So that's why it's good to have redundancy there. Each employee will have a copy of this. They will have it in their, every employee has an emergency pack. I'm sure you've seen the red backpacks. Every employee has one. There will be a bound copy of this in those packs. It will always be there with them. We will have training on it. And as soon as it's approved and adopted by the board, it is rolled out at that point in time.
I mean, you have about 24 staff meetings a year, so it might be good to have this on a regular basis to have a topic out of this, just part of the. I just want to make sure everybody's aware.
You had your hand up first.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I yield to the director.
Gentlemen,
vice president.
I'm taking MEMS and SEMS training. MEMS being the step above that, which within would be. But anyway, because of the military deal, I know that the board of directors is sometimes considered an employee of the town, and as we have found out at other times, it's not. Would that training be, with me being trained, would that suffice as an employee being trained?
Probably not. And here's where the sensitive subject comes in. SEMS, don't blame me for saying this. When there's a declared emergency, your executive officer, your general manager, city man, whoever it is in that agency, is the emergency officer. The board is Spencer.
Gotcha.
Okay?
You're going.
And it is the reason, and your role in that case is to assist the community and interact with the press. You see it all the time. The mayor, they're out there dealing with the press while staff is behind and working on the emergency. So that is really the role that FEMA has established for elected officials, knowing that staff goes through training and the elected board does not. So it's a very sensitive issue with many public officials, trust me.
But I get that, because that's all part of the MEMS training. Yeah. I mean, you can't get close to the... With SEMS training, you can't get close to the head, to the command center.
Yeah.
You have to be MEMS trained to get anywhere near the control center. You're in the outside perimeter. You know, the concentric circles.
I'm feeling better that we got a plan going here, so I appreciate this.
So I'll come out and tell you what's going on once in a while.
All right. Go ahead, Jim.
Does staff, like everyone in this office, do they have even the simple things like how to use that fire extinguisher and, you know, where to put it on the fire and if the base of the fire and all that stuff? Are we trained with that? Should we be doing CPR?
Good question. Every member of the staff is CPR and AED trained. Every single member of the staff. We do monthly trainings on situational things. It's not that we do them. SDRMA does it for us. And they send out monthly manuals and books in their training. And we require the employees to take a test and to certify that they're taking the test and it gets graded, and it's put in their personnel file for a number of things, whether it's fire, whether it's backlifting, but there's a whole series of those that take place over the course of a year. Our field personnel, Veolia, does tailgate workshops and tailgate meetings, and our staff participates in those when they have them as well.
Field staff.
Field staff, yes.
So do we have a safety handbook along those lines? Is that what you're saying?
We do have a safety handbook. I forget what it's called. It's a technical name that's required by the state of California.
I know it's called
I Injury and Illness Prevention Program. IIPP.
All right.
We're done.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good discussion.
And that was updated, and actually, when we had our site inspection from SDRMA last year, we reviewed that document in depth with them.
So everything
got a clean bill of health on it. They made recommendations. We implemented the recommendations.
So every new hire goes through that process.
That's correct.
Okay, we're just going to applaud those guys.
All right. Any final comment?
At some point.
Any public comment?
Nice to know you have an operational procedure. I think that's
needed. Yeah, that's great. So you're looking for motion?
No, this is just to receive comment. I will bring it back if I don't hear from anybody, probably the next meeting with a.
All right. Yeah, good job, Bert. Thanks. Look forward to that meeting.
And I have no other comments.
All right. Legal counsel, please.
Thank you, President, Board members. Just has been the practice of the district over the years. I would like to again make the disclosure from the special meeting earlier this evening at 6:30. There was a special meeting that contained a closed session. All five of the board members were present during the closed session regarding action item D1 on that agenda, and there was no reportable action from that closed session. That's all I have to report. Thank you, sir.
Very much. Thank you. Any committee updates? Go ahead.
I have one. President Steele couldn't make, and Vice President Graves couldn't make the Byron Unified School District, so I went over there. They had everything about staffing over there. They had sign-ups last week. There are 1,692 kids in the three schools. They hired three teachers. They approved for an additional maintenance and operations person. And they actually approved a not to exceed the amount of $14,000 to prepare and place signage of the Joseph Graves Veteran Memorial Gymnasium. And that is my report. Up to but not exceeding $14,000.
All right, well, thank you for attending us. I just have to do this. Any other community updates? Okay. All right, well, I appreciate that. Well, we have some correspondence here. Any public records requests? It's been pretty quiet, okay. We've lined out a few future agenda items. Any other future agenda items you'd like to?
I have a couple.
All right.
I would like to discuss the direction of the possible new offices over in the, as we commonly call the old shopping center. See if there's any update over there or what we plan on doing. And I'd also like to talk about how we're moving along as far as moving the three parks that we currently do not have under our jurisdiction into that jurisdiction.
So an update on that?
I'd like an update on that.
Discussion, okay.
Discussion, update.
Two parks.
I'm sorry?
Two.
Moving
two
all parks. The parks, the remaining parks.
Two parks
two
and one.
Parks.
Two parks. Two parks and one.
Okay. Still get an update on that. That'd be great. A little discussion on that. All right. Any other items?
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, at this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.